In Parshas Pekudei, the first one that we have over here is Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he explains the parallels between the Mishkan and Bria Solom. That whatever you find in Bria Solom, you find in the Mishkan. So he says, "Valderach Hamedrash Elup Kudei Mishkan Mishkan Haedus Lama Shnei Pam Mishkan." Why say twice? It's to teach us that the Hegel Shalmata is Mechuvim to Hegel Shalmala. I want to explain it, maybe a bit of, just give an illustration of what it means that it's Mechuvim. If a person has a country, and then he has a map of the country, really the map is not at all like the country. Country has grass and trees and cows and people and stuff. Map has none of it. But the map has representations of it. And you expect on a very good map that every detail in the country will reflect itself in the map. When it says the Lamata is mechuvin to the Lamala, means that there is some sort of translation into a different language, if you will, of what's there. So anyone who can read a map well is able to reverse the process, look at what's there, and understand what was above it. The Zohar HaKadosh says, for instance, in a few places, it says, how do we know these secrets? You know, the Zohar is telling you all these secrets and so on. So it says either it's a Mesoris, and also it says, the Malchus Derekiyas Ke Malchus Ara. Look at whatever you have here, and you can extrapolate up to what's above, provided, of course, you understand what the relationship is. A person who can't read maps can't read maps, but if you understand that this line is a road and this line is a creek and this line is whatever, then you can accurately do it. So the same thing when you say the Mishkan was a much more sharply detailed and concentrated map than the world as a whole. And that's why it says Mechon Lishitra Baal Tashan Tikim Mechon Ela Mechuvin. And that's why, incidentally, you learn Meleches Shabbos from the Mishkan other than Bria Solom, because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did B'Shas Bria Solom, we weren't around, so we can't know. But the Mishkan, anything that was in the world had to be in the Mishkan, anything that was in the Mishkan had to be in the world. They're very, very perfect correspondence between the two. And then he says, Shokal HaMishkan HaGriyas HaOlam. And Rechaya says the Mishkan was equivalent to Griyas HaOlam. And he goes through an extraordinary amount of psukim matching up the two. We won't go through all of them, but it says Nota Kadok Shemayim, and it says Asisi Rios. And it says Nota Shemayim Ki Ria. At Bria Solom it says Yikovu, in the Mishkan it says Kiyona Choshes, and he goes through about a dozen or so instances that one is connected to the other. And this is actually Chazal, I'm sorry, this is the Chazal. The Rabbeinu Bechai in the next paragraph continues, and he says that this is only a Derech Klal. Kol ma she'ezkiru chachamim, b'medes d'binyan ha'mishkan shagnei olam, all that which Chazal over here have enumerated, that's only the klal. I have a lot more details that are like that. We can use the Chazal's klolim as a way of getting to many more details that they didn't mention. It's very interesting because you always have in all types of extrapolations, there are two directions. If X, Y, and Z are enumerated, this is true legally also, any type of basic legal reading of a document, if in a basic document, and if in a law and a constitution, there is an enumeration of X, Y, and Z, there are two directions to go with it. One can say that X, Y, and Z are the examples to use so that you may appropriately extrapolate other cases, Or you could say X, Y, Z are the limits. The fancy legal language is, for example, but not limited to so-and-so and so. You make it very clear that these are meant to be examples rather than limitations, or you specify this and only this. So like Chazal, when they bring all these psukim, one could argue, no, they didn't say it, but or you can say, here, these are examples, and anything that we darshan that's like this is true, and that's in Drush, in Agarata, we certainly go like that. In Agarata, Chazal, we broaden the scope of what Chazal said on their example. Chazal said there is a comparison between Zolom, any psukim that makes sense will be sense. Now, I want to go through some of those that the Rabbi Abachaya picks and point out what the significance is, because he didn't just add, like he said, wow, Chazal have a dozen, I bet you I can come up with two dozen. They're very different in flavor. Chazal have a more general flavor. He has specific things, and I want to go through them. He says, "Kishen shgaz b'yasa olam elu tol l'shayim v'aretz, kinegdo matzina b'mishkan elu p'kuri ha-mishkan." First thing, what does he mean, tol l'shayim v'aretz, and elu p'kuri ha-mishkan? Like, where's the similarity? So, it says, if Shemayim v'aretz are a klal, and then there are offsprings and pratim, the mishkan has p'kuri ha-mishkan. They have the details of it, the specifics of it, and in other words, the world is constructed with a klal shvayim v'aretz and specifics, so to the Mishkan. Ukeshem shenivra ha'olam behei, shenema bihi baram, v'dosh razal behei baram, the letter the world created with was a hei, k'negda mitzina b'mishkan u'kveid Hashem ilis ha-mishkan, ha-mishkan, ki ha-hei kveid Hashem. The significance of it is the letter hei is the letter Hey represents the last letter in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. It is a sort of a duplicate of the middle letter, Yud K, Vav and K. The second Hey refers to the world duplicating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Isgalus. In other words, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to bring out, the world reflects it. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, a divine stamp that the Bria is meant to form in its image. And the double hay represents, as if the second hay is conveying what the first hay did. So that's called, that's the makom. Shechina is where we have aligned ourselves, shaped ourselves, formed ourselves, in a way that we are befitting to have Shechina here, which is the second hay. So the world and the Mishkan both are a hay because it's a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's image, Kaviyachol. Vizui HaKavone K'mashuzkin Yamishkan Pamei B'Torah K'mash K'safki Pamei B'Torah K'mashkav Josh Pashar Yakel, that's what's called HaMishkan. V'chein Loshem Mishkan Loshem Shechina V'zeo Shekosov Lishkan K'vay Ba'atzeinu. So the world is a makom shechina, which is very much the world why it's called shechina, and the world why it's called b'shachanti b'socham. It sort of expresses the point that the neshama is not of the guf, but the guf is a necessary kli for the neshama. You need to have, the neshama itself is separate from and apart from the guf, but in order to be in this world, it needs a dalat ames, it needs a basis, and that's called the guf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world needs a quote-unquote place, and that's a makom shechina. So places that have molded themselves in a way that they're befitting to contain within it, to express within it divinity, those are makom hashros hashchina. So the world and the Mishkan is called the Shechina because Lishkan Kavatzeinu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role is to be within something that's suitable for Shechina. Next point, he says, וכשם שהעולם עולה במחשב הליבר הסתחילה ואחר כך נעשה מייסי משישי יומים כי נגדו תמצא במשכן לחשב המחשב אז רק הלעזר. This expresses a very, very fundamental understanding of the structure of the world on many levels. First of all, HaKadosh Baruch, let's look at it in a ruchnistic way, and then look at it in a more gashmistic way. The first thing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spheres are three spheres that are related to Chachma of sorts, different types of plans, Chachma, Bina, Das, and then different types of spheres that relate to Maisim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lays out his Maisim on a first level through plan, and at the second level through activity. A result of this is that we can look at what's there and discern a plan behind it. So for instance, when a kid patches with a paintbrush on a piece of paper, the only thing you can discern on it are the splotches of paper, are the splotches of paint on the paper, and that's it. There's nothing else one could possibly see on it. But if a person let's say an artist paints a painting, even though it might look like a kid made splotches, but as assuming that this artist is a bar das, you say it reflects a das, and I can try to understand the meaning behind it. If I see somebody, if I'm fighting a war, and I see all sorts of activities going on, I'm going to understand there's something behind it. And the guns in this place, and the boats in that place, and the tanks in the other place, also be part of some common chachma. The world around us, one of the crucial issues of philosophy of science is how is it that we instinctively understand that there is a pattern behind the world. Maybe atoms just do as atoms feel. You know, electron had a bad day, it gives extra electricity, good day. We don't ever understand it that way. We understand that there is a logical structure. One of the fascinating riddles has been that math is the ultimate in terms of patterns, and there are many mathematical formulas that make sense in math, and mathematicians come up with them, with nice formulas. No one had any idea that they would look at a physical phenomenon, and then at some point later, these fit a whole bunch of physical phenomena. And for no real reason, but you know, there are some numbers, pi and the square root of 2 and so on, that they fit so many different things that are built in a certain pattern. And there's a really, really, there's no reason for it, but if we look at when we talk about understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the philosopher Bore, what we mean is not just the inability, people look at some magnificently, wow, that's grand, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do something like that. But more deeper than that is the fact that the world is built with a system, with a pattern. The human body is a complex structure. There are laws that govern everything, and those laws themselves come together at some points, and it's a system that what we would call is chachma, means an abstract conceptual construction, and the world's an expression of it. So the world was made with chachma, and then implementation. That's why we can reverse the process, look around everything and say, even on the physical level, there are laws that govern this. What are those laws? There's no such thing as a scientist doesn't just say, well, this is just kind of a crazy thing. I mean, we don't accept that as an answer because we know, quote unquote, that there is a law behind it. Next. V'kishem sh'olam nivra lo chover, ak derech n'dov v'chesed, sh'olam chesed yibane, He says the fact that it was given through chesed, the world is given chesed, the mishkan is given through chesed. Let's explain this point. The reason why olam chesed yibaneh is a fundamental is because din requires a prior cause. In other words, din is what we call in science, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. I worked for a day, meaning I gave you a day's worth of cherry picking at your farm, you give me $100, which is two pairs of shoes. In other words, that's the midas hadin. Midas hadin is there is a cause and effect in both directions. That's the sense of din. And therefore, a person is any type, if the world would be created midas hadin, it would require that there be a cause for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. And that would put something before HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. Total nedivus means that's the point where it starts at. It starts at creation. There's nothing that caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world, because that, in that case, the cause would kind of be forcing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, preceding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It couldn't work that way. The point where everything starts at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore this is called the nedava.
Rebbe?
Yes.
I mean, there were aspects of the Mishkan that were not Nedivas. There was the Trumas of Machzit HaSechel that were used for the building, for the Adanim.
Right. It's the Yotzim and Akal we need to talk about at some point. But in general, it was Nediv Lev. I mean, if anything, it's the reverse order. In when we build a shul in a community, we assess everybody money for the basic building, and then when somebody should give the stained windows or this. Here's the other way around. That Dunim seemed to be, I don't know, it's just some strange part, not a very typically important part. I can't think of anybody who one is, you know, I don't know like why that would be chosen to be the Chov. That needs to be explained, but in general, it was Nedava. Okshem Sheska Shem Elokim B'chol Ma'is Ebreishis V'chak HaShem HaMiuchot Shem V'yis HaShem HaShem Elokim K'neg Dinsu V'mishkin Ach HaShem Hiske V'kvayr HaShem Olah Shem Mishkin Shukhek HaShem Elokim Hiske HaShem Miuchot V'om Mekinan HaShem HaMishkin. So we have Elohim first and Hashem later. The simple reason is Elohim represents some partial aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a particular thing, and that's Elohim. And therefore, when you have all the elements in place, now it's ready to be Mekabel Hashem Hashem. וכשם שעולם נברא בשתי מידות, מידת רחמים ומידת הדין, כנגדו המשכן נעשה בשני אומנים. בצלאל משבט יהודה, כנגד השם המיוחד, וליה משבט דן, כנגד מידת הדין. So he says, it's amazing, יהודה is כנגד השם המיוחד, יהודה is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name with a Dalet, and שבט דן is כנגד מידת הדין. It says, the Gemara says in Pesachim that there was one person who was very contentious, and they always say, I wanted them Torah, then Torah, and they realized it came from Shevet Dan. That's connected to Midas Hadin. So you have two Umanim, one Elokim, one is Yudkei Vavkei. Another reason why you need the pairing of the two, it's like it says, Rosh Chayin Olam is Kain Midas Hadin, Shita Midas Rachmim, the world was meant to be created with Din. It's meant to be a place where people would earn the schar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu added Rachmim as a necessity, so it's always tagged on. So the main person, it's interesting though that in the building of the Mishkan, Bezalel is the more ikker, and Aliyav is the more ancillary, but actually you have these two elements. Then he says another point. וגם יתוכן שנובן מילוס מישכן מילושן מושכון מילושן המשוכה לפי שהמישכן וקלוב ציורים ודוגמו למידה של מעלה כבי שהמידה של מעלה מושך כוח מידה של מעלה נקרא זבול לקח עומר השלם על השולם וניס בייס בי זבול לך וזה עשה את הכל זו מזבולון Moish Moshevet Sefer. Ki ish Moishchem lamata mizvulun ba nimshachu zvulun. There's another way of understanding the Lashon of Mishkan. The first one was that when you build things that are alike, you get the same results. So if I copy a circuit exactly, I'm going to get the same. But if I have a circuit for a computer and I copy it perfectly, I'll get a computer also. That's one way of looking at the Mishkan. A second way of looking at it is that these are tsinoros. What I'm doing is I'm tapping in to a place that has a reservoir of Kedusha. The word bracha is with a lot of brecha, like a pool. The mashal is as if I'm appropriately connecting to the source of it all, and that's what it goes to. The word zvulun, in two ways. First of all, the word zvulun, the word zav, means to flow. Ziva, zav. So zvulun would be, so to speak, the one that flows. The zvulun, and that's why he says the zvulun moishchem mishem etzefer. But zvulun also, it says a chof yamim, trade. In other words, you can grow your own peppers and stuff like that, or you can bring them in from India or China. Zvulun's chof, the trade is where you're able to tap into someplace else, to a source, and extend it. So normally, without trade covers, every farmer has a little payers and stuff. In with trade, and especially Chof Yamim, which is the global trade, so to speak, it's able to distribute it all over. So Al Kapanim, so that's another way of interpreting the Lashon Mishkan and Zvul and so on. And then he has a few more parallels between the two. He says, Ukashem shek kasu b'vriya solom b'yom asos Hashem alakim kain b'mishkan timtze connector v'hi b'yom kalos Moshe. What's the significance of that? The significance is to be able to say I completed something or I finished something, you need to be able to say that the thing is a davar shleim, that it's a little self-contained circle. I don't say, let's say I work in an office and this kind of stuff. I don't say, well, I finished my work today. That's not the right way of saying it. I say I work today. I finished my day, but I didn't finish my work unless I have a specific project. Then I say, oh, I finished a project. The fact that B'ri Yisrael Mishkan have a finish means it's just it had a very clear tachlis to it, and that's what it is. The Re'iya, the Mishkan, there's a Ramban that says that's the Kiyum of the Bria, that's the Kiyum of the world, and that's the Kiyum here also. Ukeshem Shabriya Sa'olam, Melech Sa'olam Lo Doches HaShabbos, just like the Bria Sa'olam is not Doches HaShabbos, Shem HaShem HaShvi, Kein B'Mishkan left the Mishkan Doches HaShabbos, Shem HaShem HaShvi. Now, it's very, very interesting. It seems a little bit backwards to us. It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu happened to finish work on Friday, that's when Shabbos came. And the way he describes it, no. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked until Shabbos. And that's it. And so to Masa Mishkan wasn't like a Shabbos. What it means is that the Shabbos wasn't just like from the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped working. Whenever the whistle blew, now it's Shabbos. Shabbos means that the work of the world was created for the tachlis of Shabbos. It's like I'm trying to do something. When I have it b'shleimus, let's go back in. I work in the office until the end of my hours, until the end of the day, till the end of the week. But when I'm working on a project, the completion of the project is the tachlis. The world had a tachlis. Shabbos is the tachlis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the world was missing menucha, And in other words, a point of equilibrium, a point of tachlistit and purposefulness, and he injected it into the world. So it's a pshat the world can't override Shabbos because Shabbos is the tachlis of the world. And what's the point if you finish the table and desk? Well, why would you just keep working? That's what you did. You constructed the table and desk. So to the Mishkan, it wasn't on Shabbos to show you that it's there for a tachlis, not as a work in its own right. There's a lot to that. The Maral speaks about it much in Netzach Yisrael, that Churban and Binyan is not just, we happen to have various, you happen to have a Churban, you happen to have mitzvahs, haftachas, and Shabbat brings it back in. It's not deeper than that. וכשם שמצינו בריאס העולם, ויצב השם הקימו אדם לאמור, כן דימצו במשכן ויצב מוישה עביר כל במחנה לאמור. You see in both cases you have a lashon tzivui. One of the reasons is because since you're trying to do something that it's done for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kuzari speaks about how the Mishkan has two elements, the element of Nedivas HaLev and the element of tremendous fidelity to the exact specifications. In other words, if I want to give you a gift, charity, whatever it is, I give whatever I feel like giving. But if I'm trying to give something that will make a chibur between us, I very much research what sperm do you need, what flowers do you like, what so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it had itself the element of Nedivas, but very clear tzivui and very clear kepedis that he only allowed to do it in a certain way. He says you find in other words, Melecha Shamayim, by its own innate nature, is infinite, and the borders are imposed on it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, it should be infinite because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. The borders that the world has are imposed, and those are the borders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed on the world. The Mishkan, the Nedivas HaLev, was quote-unquote endless, and there was a restriction imposed on it that it's Amalacha Yisadayim, and he said, enough. And being the Pirkei Relozer, that's why it's called Shaka, because the world kept going, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a stop to it. Okeshem Shesh Bebriyas Olam Shemayim Varetz, Shem Eidus Yisol Shesh HaTayrish, Dem Adai Sibachem Ayim Shemayim Varetz, came with Mishkan, Mishkan Eidus. In other words, the world as a whole reflects Klal Yisrael's ruchniyistik health. So too does the Mishkan. You have the Kruvim and so on. The world is 7 days. Mishnas Shes Mei Meluin. You have Bir Solom is 32 and the Mishkan is 32. The Ein Sofik says Kesh Bazet Dvarim Acher Milvaril Sheskat. There's much more Shekasachdim. The Gam Aniyo Deisam. Some of them I know. And many I don't know. What I've told you here is a key to be able to understand the rest of it. So it's a magnificent inyan over here of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done in terms of the Mishkan. All of these similarities are because both of them are a representation of the divine in a step-down physical version. And the Milo, that is, in the Mishkan, we have the entirety of the world at our feet. It's like the Milo of a map, that you have the entire country laid out on a piece of paper that you can put your hands on, you get a sense of things, and so on. And for us, you know, the Mishkan was a place from which we could understand the entirety of the Bria, if only we were Misamik and Misbonin into the Mishkan. Okay.